Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the 1 o'clock hour in our nation's capital. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Odell Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock before we gracefully dish it over to our coverage of the 2025 Pro Bowl. Just absolutely yucky stuff. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites, the dean of all things, DC Sports. National writer for The Athletic, David Aldridge. DA, appreciate you joining me as always, my friend. I brought you on for a couple of different reasons. Mainly, though, man, your reaction, when I read your tweet last night, it kind of put it in perspective for a young cat like myself. You've been covering the NBA longer than I was born. Before I was even thought about, you were putting pen to paper on the league. Your reaction to last night, my friend, because holy hell.
Yeah, well, it's another word, but that'll do. Yeah, you don't usually have too many of these. You get kind of, not cynical, but you just kind of get used to guys get traded. And people get hired, people get fired, they sign big contracts. It's the league, it's how the league is structured. And you get, I mean, from time to time you get surprised by maybe a certain team making a certain move, but not really. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's just another day in the NBA, so you kind of roll with it. But this was, because it came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Because it was not, you know, 5 weeks of speculation about where Luka Doncic was going to go before they finally pulled the trigger. It was that they traded Luka Doncic. You know what I mean? You just don't expect, because it never happens, you don't expect an NBA team to trade a young superstar, arguably a top five player in the NBA who's 25 years old for any reason. And certainly not with no notice. You know, it's not like he made a trade demand and they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place and they didn't have any good outs and they just took the best bad out. That does happen, right? But this wasn't that. This was, he was fine being in Dallas. You know, he was going to, I'm sure, sign a Supermax in 2026 for $345 million and be good. You know, like I'll just be in Dallas my whole career. So he wasn't looking to leave. They were looking to move him. And again, it came out of the blue. Look, every superstar is a pain in the butt to a certain extent to his team because they have certain demands. You have to accommodate them. You have to do what they want. Sometimes that you have to hire their buddies and their friends to be in the organization. You have to make accommodations for them in terms of travel. You have to treat them differently than everybody else. And you make that deal with the devil because the guy's that good, right? And so the Mavericks made their deal with the devil. Luka's that good. Like, so the fact that he wasn't in shape and that he complained about certain things, you're just like, all right, but that's the cost of having a superstar on your team. You know, that didn't happen here. They were just like, no, we're just tired of this. We're just going to do this now and get rid of this before it gets out of hand, which is very unusual in this day and age of the NBA where you almost always see a team, if they are like the Kings are with De'Aaron Fox,
right.
He wants out. All right, we'll have an auction. We're just going to start the auction, and we'll make the best deal we can.
With this move, DA, I think that's the more shocking part of this to me as I try to wrap my head around the motivations, because you're going to hear stuff come out from Luka's camp. You're going to hear the Maverick side coming out via ESPN and the national reporters like yourself. But, like, in reality, when you look at this thing, what would be the benefit if you're Nico Harrison of not making it public knowledge that you're looking to move on? Is it one of those situations where other teams would look like, well, why the hell is Dallas trying to move on from Luka? Do you think it would have diminished any potential return that they would have gotten for him by making it public? Because that's the thing I can't wrap my head around. It's just not enough for a player of his caliber.
It doesn't seem to be at first glance like you would think. The problem is when it becomes public, you know, even though there's very few players that actually have a no-trade clause, you know, Luka's a free agent in 2 years.
Right.
He can make it very clear to whomever is looking to trade for him, I'm not re-signing with you, so you can trade for me, but I'm going to be gone in 18 months. And that makes it much more difficult to pull the trigger on a big deal where you're giving up a bunch of picks or players for a guy that you're renting for 18 months. Having said that, you still, like, to me, Linnell, the parallel is a very, very close to home parallel. Is the Nats offered Juan Soto $440 million, yeah. And he was like, nah, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at that point, they said, all right, make me your best offer. They just opened it up to the whole league, and they got a really good offer from the Padres, and they made the deal. And I'm not in any way mad at the Padres. You go get Juan Soto. Right. I don't care if he's only there a year. You go get him because he's that good. And same thing with the Lakers. I don't care if you had to trade AD. Go get Luka Doncic. This is the easiest call you could possibly make. Because a guy, a superstar player that good, you have him in your shop, and you do the best job you can of selling him on your shop. That to me is like, It's just odd to me that you wouldn't open it up to the league and just get as many assets as you can if you're the Dallas Mavericks. Like, you're trading arguably the best player, if not the best player, one of the two best players in the history of your franchise. Yeah. Like, if you want to say Dirk was better, okay, I mean, that's fine. You can make that argument. But if you're going to trade a guy who's going to be one of the two best players in the history of your franchise, I got to get some stuff for him, man. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
I got to get some stuff.
With the old Denzel clip, David Aldridge, I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah, I'm leaving here with something. That's right. That's right. I'm leaving with something.
You know, right. it was so stunning to see, man. And I can't wait to hear or read the tea leaves, rather, over the next few weeks and in the coming days here, to some of the behind-the-scenes stuff with what Luka was demanding and how that relationship soured. Because I just can't help but think that it's messier behind the scenes than the public is known to, right, is privy to right now.
Right.
When it comes to Luka, do you see a scenario, DA, where he kind of let them know, hey, I'm not going to sign the Supermax, and then they decided to pivot and move to this deal? Or do you think it was Nico saying, I just can't move forward with this guy?
Well, we'll find out, you know, but the fact that they didn't talk to the agent at all, who's a very well-respected agent around the league, lends me to believe that they didn't get to that point. Like, it's not like it was out there. That gets out, man. If you offered Luka Doncic $345 million and he said no,
yeah,
that gets out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's in the agent's best interest, okay, we're not going to be in Dallas anymore. Where do you want to go, Luka? You know what I'm saying? Like, and you steer him towards one of those two or three teams that he'd be willing to be traded to. Because you want your client to be happy, right? Like, you know, so I doubt that it got to, I doubt that was offered. I mean, it's on the table. Obviously, he's a superstar player. He's getting a Supermax contract. You know what the number is for him. There's no negotiation. Here's the number, 345. That's what we can give you. That's the Supermax.
Right.
You get the Supermax. We're not going to, you know, nickel and dime you on this. You, $345 million is what you get. And that's what we're offering. And so it's, you know, I have heard nothing that would say Luka Doncic turned that down.
Yeah.
Now, maybe we'll find that out in the next few days. But again, something like that, like with Juan Soto,
yeah,
that gets out.
Yes.
Because sometimes in the case of the Nats, I always believe it, they're the ones that leaked it.
Yeah.
Because it's in their interest to leak it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
They need teams to know around the league, he turned down $440, we're going to trade him.
Yeah.
And we're trading him because he turned down $440. You know, and so if he had said, if Luka Doncic had said, no, I'm going to play this out and become a free agent in 2 years, like De'Aaron Fox is slow walking the Sacramento Kings to that.
Yeah.
He's made it clear, I'm not signing, I'm going to become a free agent, I'm not signing the extension. All right, you're telling me what you want, then you're telling me you're out then. So we got to trade you. You know, so I haven't heard that from Luka. You know, I haven't heard that yet about Luka. Maybe we will hear it, but I kind of doubt it because, again, if he said no, that gets out quick.
Yeah.
That's not a state secret that people keep dibs on for, you know, 3 or 4 months. That gets out.
Yeah, hard to keep that under wraps. Joined right now by David Aldridge, senior writer for The Athletic. D.A., can we look at this from the Lakers' perspective for a second here? Do you look at this as L.A. kind of giving up on this season and kind of saying, hey, we're going to see how we can retool in the summer? Or is there a move that can make it the deadline to try to add to the front court? Because right now on paper, I think the move makes L.A. worse. But obviously this isn't a move for the now. It's for the future.
I don't care about this season. Yeah. Come on now. Come on. This is chess, not checkers. Right. To quote another Denzel movie. You know, no, they're thinking about 10 years from now. LeBron's 40, man. There's no shelf life there. Like, he's going to be retired in a couple of years. Or he's going to be so diminished that he's not LeBron anymore. So either way, you're the Lakers, man. You don't rebuild in LA. You don't do that. You know, they tried that and it was a disaster. Like right before Kobe retired, that they tried to go, we're going to rebuild and bring all these young guys in, and it was a disaster. That's not what you're doing with the Lakers. You go get the next superstar. That's what they do. They've been doing it since they went and got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar 50 years ago. My God, 50 years ago. That's crazy.
It's what they do.
That's what they do. They go get the next superstar. That's what we do in L.A. Who cares? They don't care about the season. They got to sell tickets in that building for the next 10 years. And now they can. Now they have a chance. You make your best pitch to Luka. You make your best. We build championship organizations out here. We will build around you. There's players you want us to go get. We'll go get them because we're the Lakers and we can do that. And you sell them on, hey, it's L.A., stupid. What are you talking about?
Right. D.A., is there any chance that they consider shopping LeBron in this situation? I know he's got the no-trade clause. Mm-hmm. Does he become more open to a move at this point?
I would doubt it.
Yeah.
I would doubt it. I've learned to never say never because things happen that shock you, but I would doubt it. Just because I think LeBron has it in his head. I don't think LeBron wants to be a mercenary and go from team to team the last 3 or 4 years of his career. I think he likes stability, likes being where he is. And I think we'll, you know, figure out what's the best way that Luka and I can play together. Because, you know, when it's like an all-star team. Mm-hmm. You figure it out. Like, you try to figure it out. Like, it's not ideal. But you figure it out because you're both too good not to figure it out. You know, like you're both too talented not to figure out a way to play with each other. So you do this and I do that and I do this and you do that and we'll figure it out, you know. But that's for next year. This year is just make whatever deals you can before the deadline. You know, you've got some flexibility. They kept the 2031 first, so they've got some flexibility to make some deals, to bring in another player or two. And then kind of regroup over the summer, figure out what your long-term plans are. You know, do you, assuming that Luka is willing to stay in L.A. and be a Laker for the next, you know, 10 years or the rest of his career, all right, how do we build around Luka Doncic? What do we need in terms of players, in terms of types of players, to make him be the best he can be and give our team the best shot? You know, he's only 25.
That's what's crazy about it, man.
He ain't 32. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like,
so you can build around this cat for another 6 to 7 years. You know, like, so you've got an opportunity to go to him and his agent and say, what's the vision?
Yeah.
Help us paint a vision of the types of players that you want around him in L.A. And we will make that happen. You know, so that's what I mean. I think that's the next 12, 14 months.
And they get a little bit of a discount too, D.A., because he's not Supermax eligible anymore.
Right. He's not but that's for everybody now. Like, you know, the only team that could give him a Supermax was Dallas.
Right.
So that's everybody's in that boat. And 26, you know, Miami's lining up. That's been the whole plan for Miami. We're going to have cap room in 26, big boy. Come down to South Beach. You know what I mean? Like, so they're going to be they're in the mix now. Don't get it twisted. Miami's always in the mix. So they're going to have to sell Luka in the next year and a half. Like, you should stay with us, and you should be, you know, we have 17 reasons up in the banners why you should stay with us. You know, it's
the Miami thing.
You got a case now, as I always like to say.
For sure.
Lakers got a case now.
The Miami thing becomes interesting just because of maybe his off-the-court lifestyle and the type of people that are down there. That's interesting.
Maybe.
I got to ask you about...
It's not like they don't have beaches in the L.A. area.
Well, I was about to say, there's no shortage of land and water. I give you that. D.A., I want to move on here real quick to the Wizards, and I know it's been tough. I guess I'll ask it to you like this, my friend. From folks that you talk to around the NBA and then your own personal thoughts as someone that's covered this game for 30-plus years, mm-hmm. what are you making of what is going on in D.C.?
I'm making that this is what you do. Like, I mean, I know it's hard to watch a tank in real time. It's really hard. It's hard because the basketball most nights is dreadful. It's really bad basketball. It's not anything. The young guys aren't ready yet to be good. You know, they have talent, but they're not NBA players yet, you know, because they're young and they're not strong and they're not experienced. So they're learning, right? And the old guys don't want to be here because this stinks, right? Like, I don't want to be here, you know, on a 7-win team. So it's really tough. It's really tough.
It's hard.
All I can tell you, as I've said many times, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of people over the last week and a half have asked that same question to me that you did. If there's a different way and a better way to build a championship-level organization and championship-level roster than this way, tell me how to do it. Because I don't have – there's no pattern of teams being able to get – you know, $120 million of cap room and signing three free agents other than the Heat.
Yeah.
One team's done it in the 77-year history of the NBA. You know, otherwise it just doesn't work. And so if you look at every team that's good right now, Oklahoma City, Cleveland, Houston, all of them, Memphis, all of them, how did they get good? They got good by being really, really bad for a few years and getting a high enough pick that they were able to take an impactful player that they could build around. That's the only way you can do this, Linnell. There's no other way to do this. Memphis got Ja Morant with the second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Cleveland got Evan Mobley with the third pick in the draft. Okay,
that's
there's
how you
no
do it.
Other way to do this.
It just my frustration when watching it, DA, is like, do you run the risk of creating bad habits with your youngins because of the brand of ball that's being tolerated? Like, my frustration, I know it's hard to call out the effort of professional athletes. Like, they want to mm-hmm. play for their families and all of that. Just watching them night in, night out at times, man, it just looks like they're going through the motions. And I wonder, I hate to point at the coach. I look at Brian Keefe and go, well, why can't you get the effort out of these guys night and night out? It doesn't have to be a 30-piece every night, D.A.
Two answers. One, young players' effort and consistency fluctuates from quarter to quarter, much less game to game.
Right.
They just can't sustain it. It's hard. You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to play hard at this level. They played hard in college. They played hard in high school. It's a different level, Linnell.
Right.
It's the NBA. You can't just play hard for 4 minutes and then you're good, and now you're up by 15 points like you are in college or in high school. If I just play hard for for 5 minutes, my team will be up by 10, 12 points. That's usually what happens with really good players.
For sure.
When you get to the NBA, nope. Different animal, dog. There's big boy basketball up here, you know. So you have to learn how to sustain effort over 14 minutes, over 16 minutes. It's hard. That's why it's the best league in the world, because it's really hard to do that. And you have to learn how to do that. The other part of the answer is, I'm not trying to be, you know, cold and, mm-hmm. you know, hard ass here, but in 2 years, how many of these guys still going to be here?
Well, that's the question. Yeah.
Three?
Maybe. Yeah. Your first rounders that you drafted this year, probably it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about? They got 7 wins. You think anybody on a 7-win team is untradeable? Come on, man. Like, that's not, you know, like, you're looking to find, all right, who are the two or three guys that we're going to roll with when we get the real talent in here over the next 3 or 4 years? That's the deal. How many players from that 76ers team that won 10 games in 2015 were on that team in 2018?
Good point.
Three?
Yeah. It's going to look a hell of a lot different.
That's not, I mean, none of these guys are going to be here. Yeah. Come on, that's real. I mean, we're dealing with reality here. Like, and that's, I mean, and again, if you have a better way, tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me how to better way. The better way is not to hope that you draft the best player in the world with the 41st pick in the second round, like the Denver Nuggets did. That's not a strategy. Okay.
Right.
They got lucky. And then kudos to them. They got lucky. They, you know, he became what he became. But you don't go. You can't build a friend. You can't go to your owner and say, "This is how we're going to build this team. We're going to wait till the 42nd pick, and hopefully the guy we draft from Europe turns into the best player in the world."
Pipe dream.
You got to get to the top of the draft, man. Like, there's no other way to do this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean there's a guarantee that they're going to get a top three pick. But you're playing poker here, man. I'm just playing the odds. These are the odds I have. The best odds are 1, 2, 3. Those are the best odds. Those are the best 3 chances I have to get Cooper Flagg or to get Dylan Harper or to get Ace Bailey.
Yeah.
Or next year to get A.J. DeBanza or to get Cam Boozer. Yep. Those are the best odds I have. That's the only way I can get them. I can't get them any other way. So I know it stinks. It's hard to watch. It is hard to watch.
You're putting it lightly.
No, I mean, it is. I get it. But you can't forget what the overall goal is.
Right.
You can't say, I can't stand watching these Wizards are terrible, and then be the same guy that says, "But why do they keep Bradley Beal around here? He's overpaid, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of chasing 35 wins every year." All right. They said, "We're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
We're not going to just continue to bring in veterans every other year and try to cobble together 36 wins to make the play-in round and get annihilated in the first round of the playoffs. We're going to try to actually build a championship-level team." Well, you need championship-level talent to do that. They don't have any right now. The championship-level talent that they hope they have is in college right now or in high school. And that's the plan. And it doesn't mean it's going to work, but that's the plan.
I hope the basketball gods reward them for this masterful
take. I hope so, too, because it's tough to watch, for sure.
Yes, it is. My friend, I appreciate you giving me some time, as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
My pleasure, man.
That is one of the absolute best talking all things NBA, D.C. sports, the dean of all things D.C. sports, David Aldridge. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at David Aldridge D.C. I feel like I need a drink after talking Wizards with D.A. To hear it from the horse's mouth, as I like to say. It gives me a little sense of calm and relaxation. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll try to get back on schedule. If you have any calls, 1-800-636-1067. We'll get back on track next here on The Fan. Big thank you to our guy, David Aldridge, joining us top of the 1 o'clock hour. If you missed any of my conversation with D.A., you're in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to 1 o'clock to hear David Aldridge give his thoughts on the massive trade that shook up the NBA last night. Luka Doncic traded to the LA Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis in a 2029 first-round pick. We also discussed the Washington Wizards a little bit. As we close out this 1 o'clock hour, I will give you my thoughts on the Washington Wizards. As they snapped their 16-game losing streak last night, albeit against a Minnesota Timberwolves team that was down Anthony Edwards, down Rudy Gobert, down Naz Reid, the good guys got the win despite all of the attrition that Minnesota was dealing with. Some may say because of all of the attrition that Minnesota was dealing with. They were able to get off the schneid. What does it mean, though? We'll discuss that as we roll throughout the 1 o'clock hour, because a little teaser for you. I can give a rat's ass that they snapped the losing streak. The brand of basketball that they have played this year is disrespectful to the game. it's downright atrocious, and heads should roll as a result of it. Give you more thoughts before we get out of here. Mitch is in New Jersey, wants to chime in on Luka and the Anthony Davis deal. What's going on, Mitch?
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. How you doing?
What is the difference between trades? The Clippers trade swap Scruggs for Scruggs, and the Lakers get a star for a star. Always coming up on top. Clippers always be the second banana.
Yeah.
And you got to say your Wizards are definitely tanking for Cooper Flag.
I think it's interesting you bring up the Clippers dynamic of this. They get fleeced routinely, Lakers with another star in the organization. I agree. It is hilarious. All right, Mitch, appreciate your call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, the Wizards snapped their 16-game losing streak last night. I'll tell you why it means nothing. Next. Coming up top of the 2 o'clock hour, touch a little bit on the Washington Commanders. They had some good news on the coaching front as the coaching carousel continues to spin in the National Football League. We'll get you up to speed on a Commander coach that almost got away, but Josh Harris, the company, saying, Get you that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. It is Overtime. Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime at the YIC, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. Westwood One's coverage of the Pro Bowl games coming up. Speaking of the Pro Bowl, you know who's not going to be in the Pro Bowl? Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin. Bobby Wagner will be there, though. Pro Bowl number 10.
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Drake May. But I brought that up to say our first Sunday without Jaden Daniels under center on our TV screen. First Sunday in a long, long time.
Well, if you're not counting like the Thursday night games and things like that.
I mean, yes, but first time in a long time. We've gone over a week without seeing Jesus. How will we ever cope? Big offseason upcoming. We talked about it. We talked about it yesterday, how pivotal this offseason was for Washington. We'll go all things burgundy and go to the 2 o'clock hour. The Wizards, though, man, I thought I'd share some of my thoughts on what has gone on here. David Aldridge calms me down. DA is obviously super smart, wise beyond his years, has covered this thing longer than I've been born. He makes a lot of intriguing points. If you got to hear the tail end of our conversation, there is only one way to do it. This is how you get good. And as a fan of the Wizards that has come up in the time period where I've watched them chase mediocrity for years at a time, it is kind of refreshing to know that, hey, they're going to bottom out and do it the only way you really can. Does it stink watching them fall by 30 on a night-in, night-out basis? Yes, it does. It is gut-wrenching. It's hard to watch. It genuinely ticks me off, if I'm being honest. That's why sometimes I go on my tweet rants and complain about the Wizards. You all see it. But as I continue to say with this Wizards team, you can lose in tank, but still be a respectable NBA outfit. Washington is not that right now. Going down by 30 at home to the Toronto Raptors in the first half is unacceptable. Going down 30 at home against the Lakers with no Anthony Davis is unacceptable. At some point, there has to be a level of give a damn. You pick up what I'm putting down? And I look directly at Brian Keefe, the head coach of the Washington Wizards. You have to hold guys accountable. Point blank, if guys aren't going to rotate hard defensively, if guys aren't going to close out hard and take bad shots, pull them. Make them come sit next to you. That's my concern with the Wizards. You can lose all the games you want. You can go 0-82 for all I care. But are you getting better? Are you developing good habits? And I understand Will Dawkins said it back in September. We are in the deconstruction phase of the Washington Wizards. Fine. Then deconstruct. Get guys the hell out of here. I'm so sick and tired of watching Kyle Kuzma not play defense, take bad shots, and then complain post-game about how we didn't sign up for a rebuild. Kiss my tush. It's frustrating to watch. It really is. And the thing that I'm now concerned about is, are the young guys even getting better? Now, Bilal played... he played much better last night. I don't even want to give them credit for last night. Does that sound petty? Does that sound wrong? They don't deserve credit for last night's win. You skated past the Timberwolves. You squeaked by the Timberwolves. You won by 2 points. You realize who was out last night for Minnesota? No Terrence Shannon. No Anthony Edwards. Guys didn't play. A bunch of guys didn't play for that group last night, and the Wizards were able to skate by. Great. What's more disheartening to me is the effort that you got last night. And you know what? I don't think it's a coincidence. Craig Hoffman on Friday opened up his show with the Wizards. Chris Russell opened up his show Thursday with the Wizards. I'm not sure how much it was talked about here on 106.7. But Brian Keefe joined the Sports Junkies Friday morning, if I'm not mistaken. They hear the public outcry for them to play harder. They hear the public scrutiny. It's no coincidence they come out and play way harder last night against Minnesota relative to how they've been playing. That's my problem. That's why I look at the coach. Why does it have to take the local media calling your ass out to get your guys to play hard? That's ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. You're 7-41. You've had multiple 15-game losing streaks throughout the year. Yet I'm supposed to be accepting of what the hell I'm watching? It stinks. It's nasty. It's disrespectful to the game, what Washington is doing. And I say it all the time, man. You live right, good things happen to you. Whether that's in the real world, whether that's in professional sports, period. You live right, good things happen to you. Disrespecting the game with this low level of a tank is not going to get you the top three pick you covet. The basketball gods don't work that way. I promise you they don't. I can't, for the life of me, wrap my mind around if they don't end up with the top three pick. What happens if Washington ends up with the number 6 overall pick in this draft? Then what? Then you look stupid. Because what are you taking for? Oh, you want to wait for next year? Go win 10 games the next year? Then hope that you get lucky with that pick? That's okay. You guys got to develop, man. And that's my frustration. I don't think guys are getting better. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the Commanders, with a little bit of coaching news over the past hour or so. We'll get you up to speed on that next. Final hour of power coming up on the other side of this break here on this Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime. It's the YIC. Lynnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. Westwood One's coverage of the Pro Bowl games coming up. Speaking of the Pro Bowl, Washington, the Commanders, had a lot of Pro Bowl nominees this year. Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Frankie Louvu was an alternate, Bobby Wagner was an alternate. Bunch of different guys deserving of going out and playing in the Pro Bowl. Where is the Pro Bowl? It used to be in Honolulu.
I think it's Florida this year, maybe Orlando or something.
I think it's in Orlando. It's been in Orlando before. I don't know. It's how irrelevant the Pro Bowl is. But I only bring that up because it's tied to our Washington Commanders. And as I said in the last segment, if you were with us.
Yeah, it's Orlando.
This is an interesting weekend because it's the first time in a long time we haven't gotten to see Jaden and the Commanders in action. And look, it was a Cinderella season. Magical season. You learned a lot. You put yourself in prime position moving forward. There's a lot to be happy about if you are a fan of the Burgundy and Gold. There's a ton to be proud about if you're a fan of Washington. But as I've been saying the last couple of days, and I'll continue to say it, this is the most important offseason of this rebuild for the Washington Commanders. They must strike while the iron is hot. They must capitalize on what I consider the best asset in the National Football League, having a rookie quarterback playing out of his mind on a rookie contract. Because you can then supplement the roster around Jaden Daniels and turn this thing not into some one-year flash in the pan, but what Washington has a real legitimate opportunity to do is turn this into a sustained winner where it's not a celebration to make the NFC Championship game, because that's something we're accustomed to doing. That is what is next to me. That, to me, is what this offseason is about. Ensuring that you're not a flash in the pan, putting your fingerprints on this football team, if you're Adam Peters and company, and ensuring that you are a sustained winner. Not like the New York Giants, who made the playoffs in year one under Daboll and then stunk it up the next couple of years. Don't be that. Continue to capitalize on your success. One way you're able to do that, continuity. We talk about it all the time. There was drawbacks to hiring a defensive-minded head coach. I was all on board for it, but I knew that there were potential drawbacks of doing so, consequences, so to speak, just like any decision you make in life, sports, you name it. There are consequences. One of the consequences to hiring a defensive-minded head coach was the potential of your offensive staff being poached. And you're seeing it right now in real time. Washington with a top five offense in the National Football League last year. Cliff Kingsbury garnered interest as a head coaching candidate. Tavita Pritchard, the quarterback's coach here in Washington, interviewed with the Jacksonville Jaguars for their vacant offensive coordinator spot. They hired an OC. Tavita not going to be the guy down there, thank God. David Blau, Washington's assistant quarterback's coach, was offered the Jets, or the Jets rather, tried to interview him, and hire him for that matter, for their quarterback's coaching job, and Washington blocked that move this morning. Washington vetoed an interview with David Blau and the Jets. Why? Because Washington wants to keep David Blau around. Because Washington thinks very highly of David Blau, and folks you talk to there internally view him as a potential replacement for Cliff Kingsbury if he is to part ways with this team. You also look at Brian Johnson, the assistant head coach and pass game coordinator for the Commanders. He interviewed for the Houston Texans offensive coordinator job. So there are drawbacks to having the defensive-minded head coach. You're going to get guys poached from your staff. It's also an ancillary consequence, right, of you being a good football team. You won 12 games. Your offense came out like gangbusters. People want a piece of the sauce. The question is for Washington, as they move forward here, how does the coaching staff getting poached impact this football team? Final hour of power coming up on the other side of this break. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue to take a look at the Washington Commanders. We'll open up some thoughts on the offseason. Adam Peters, the general manager of the Washington Commanders, I continue to say it, the most pivotal offseason of this rebuild is now. Let's take a look back for a second. 1 year plus on the job. The best and worst of Adam Peters as the GM of the Commanders next. This is The Fan.